Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Good of you to join us live if you are joining us live. Otherwise, of course, you're probably watching in the archives, BitChute Library, Red Ice TV, RedIceMembers.com. Thank you, however you're tuning in. Good to have you here, including you, Spurgs, over on BitChute, who thinks we're part of a Jewish conspiracy. We love having you with us as well. So thank you so much for joining us in the archives. Truly appreciate it. All right. Guys, a lot of things lined up today. Good to be back with you. Of course, last no-go zone, we skipped, took a little bit of a break. Was spending some time out by a beautiful lake, as you might have known if you watched last Friday. So, of course, it's very good to be back with you. And we have tons of stuff lined up today, ladies and gentlemen. So it's almost one of those we just have to kind of dive into it right away if we're going to get to it all. Tons of things have happened. Absolutely incredible. And a couple of things, of course, to which we covered in the weekend show. By the way, check it out if you didn't already. It's up on redicemembers.com right now on Tucker Carlson's. That story was uploaded to our BitChute and to our website and stuff like that as well. But we covered the Wayfair thing and a bunch of other topics in the show, which some of which we're going to follow up here on today, including, of course, Tucker's main writer, Jeff Blakeneff. I can never remember his name. Blakeneff. Who ended up resigning. So we're told, anyway, we're told he resigned. I think he was pressured up by Fox, but that's kind of a different story. And I thought we could take a look at his response, Tucker's, because, well, it was a disappointing one, to be honest. It was very disappointing. I thought he should have stood up for his writer. Frankly, the jokes, which were jokes, and he didn't say they were jokes, they were jokes. We've seen far more serious, you know, kind of hatred flying around in mainstream media sources. CNN, New York Times, I mean, think about the Zara Jongs and these kinds of people, right, who are, they're backed by New York Times. We stand by our hiring kind of thing. And they have openly, those are not jokes. Those are openly, you know, hostile, hateful, you know, tweets against white people and hating old white men and killing white men and stuff like that. BuzzFeed news reporters like Joel Bernstein, that mentions very much, you know, the same kinds of things. So he didn't do that, which was kind of disappointing, actually. Instead, he decided to go trout fishing, which, of course, is a kind of a major. What do you call it? Just check out. He just went, when the going gets tough, he folded and he just let's just go trout fishing instead. You know, he said. But anyway, a couple of ways here, guys. Before we dive into it, entropystream.live/redicetv. I'll keep an eye during the show on that. We also, of course, have dlive.tv/redicetv, which I think the majority of audience is watching through, at least when we're doing these live. And also donorbox.org/red-ice. That's a couple of ways to join in. I'll keep an eye on those guys regarding, you know, super chats and that kind of stuff. We got a grift, right? That's what this what this all is about. It's about grifting. You can never beat the accusations, right? Anyway, we thank you very much for your support, which of course allows us to be able to continue to do this on full-time basis, and maybe even, who knows, maybe even get our editor aboard here soon as well. We do want to expand and get an additional editor aboard so we can do even more. So your support, of course, is greatly appreciated. But anyway, let's dive into the response here from Tucker. Here we go.
Over the weekend, you may have seen stories about a writer on this show called Blakeneff. For years, since he was in college, Blake posted anonymously on an internet message board for law school students. On Friday, many of those posts became public. Blake was horrified by the story and he was ashamed. Friday afternoon, he resigned from his job. We want to say a couple of things about this. First, what Blake wrote anonymously was wrong. We don't endorse those words. They have no connection to the show. It is wrong to attack people for qualities they cannot control. In this country, we judge people for what they do, not for how they were born. We often say that because we mean it. We'll continue to defend that principle, often alone among national news programs.
Even when white Americans are a small and shrinking and hated and resented minority, which is being subjected to violence, they'll continue to stand. I mean, I get it, Tucker. It's good, and it's not that you can't, you know, be, you know, ideologically, you know, inclined here, and that you take a position and you hold that. It's very admirable. But I mean, the reality is he made a couple of slightly edgy jokes. That was it, right? There are some questions whether this Charles the 12th, I went through some of, you know, the moniker and stuff in the Weekend Warrior show, why he was named that, but this link that was made, it was just amazing too, that CNN, Oliver Darcy, who dove into this, which was just incredible, the time they spent on this to link this, right? But it was obviously an insider who was either mad at Tucker, or he had turned, or but somehow this Charles the 12th knew he kept kind of these things had come up over the years that he had this position, which of course is very very dumb. Don't do that. Just to say, don't dox yourself on those kinds of levels. At the same time, very mild jokes, right? Extremely mild. There's far worse things out there in terms of what's being said openly about white people, and it's okay to shit on white people. And in regards, white people can join in and laugh in the fun at these dumb, boring whites and stuff, right? But when it comes to other races, they are off limits, and you can't make fun of them or can't make jokes of them, which of course is it's extremely boring. But the whites is essentially the only one you can push around, and that's why this happens. And that's why it's even more important why Tucker shouldn't have folded on this issue. Stand up for your writer. We'll see what happens now. We'll see how the show changes here and just how much. I mean, he could still get his scripts to Tucker and stuff, obviously, but who knows? He's probably out, for to be honest. He's probably out for good. Anyway, let's listen to the rest here.
Because it is essential. Nothing is more important. Blake fell short of that standard, and he has paid a very heavy price for it. But we should also point out to the ghouls now beating their chests in triumph at the destruction of a young man that self-righteousness also has its costs. We are all human. When we pretend we are holy, we are lying. When we pose as blameless in order to hurt other people, we are committing the gravest sin of all, and we will be punished for it. There's no question.
Okay. We will self-righteous. I don't think they. Some of them do, probably, right? But Oliver Darcy, it's just a bunch of anti-white people, essentially. That's going after one of the most popular shows in cable news history, because Tucker is bringing attention to a lot of the anti-white programming that goes on out there. That's why they're ruining this show for him, right? And so they're trying to tear down the writers as best as they can. So the Hill reported here later that. He announces on the show a long planned vacation. Now, I couldn't get the dates right. I think this might have been on the. This is says the 13th. This show was uploaded on YouTube, but that can't be right. Maybe that is right, actually. What was that? Was that the Monday? Yeah, that was the Monday. Okay, maybe that was it then. But this is what happened at the end of that show, guys.
Well, we're out of time. Going to spend the next 4 days trout fishing. Long planned. This is one of those years where if you don't get it in now, you're probably not going to. If something dramatic happens, of course, we'll be back. We've got some tape segments for you. Brian Kilmeade will be sitting in.
Oh, good.
But in the meantime, we hope you have the best and happiest week, and we'll be back on Monday, if not before, 8 p.m. Eastern, the show that is the sworn and totally sincere enemy of lying, pomposity, smugness, and groupthink. Until then, the great...
Whoever came up with that tagline, is just not. That's not very... If that was Neff, I'm glad they got rid of it. All right, anyway, so that's it then. That's it. Going trout fishing. We'll see how long he will be gone. And we'll keep an eye when he comes back. If he'll be as good or not, it might be, might not be. It'll be interesting to see, but he cucked to... you can, after all, cuck the tuck, unfortunately. All right, so let's move on to some social media here. As we know, big tech, big friends of ours. Big tech loves everything that we do, and of course, you guys out there as well. We know it. I saw this one here today. Interesting. Instagram had actually something. The headline here implies, did Instagram really add a mute white people sticker? And it turns out that they actually did. It may sound like a ridiculous rumor, but countless screenshots of the new mute white people sticker on Instagram will tell you that it's very real. On June 13th, 2020, conservative commentator Katie Pavlich, not sure who that is, I've probably come across him, revealed a screenshot of the new button on Twitter and said, Instagram has a mute white people button in stories. It was enough to spark backlash from a number of users who felt the sticker was racist. Meanwhile, others believed that the sticker was simply encouraging white people to check their privilege by making space for black voices. But, you know, you won't see... Mute. You can mute any other race, right? It's always It's always this anti-white bullshit, right? It's incredible. They get away with this. Someone said that it might have been taken down consequently, and it was not there anymore. I'm glad they got some backlash though from it actually. But there you go. These are the kinds of things that they can do and pull off and successfully have up at least for a while. And then see, kind of just quietly remove it again, right? Pretty incredible. Google, quickly on a couple of these stories, guys, and I'll get to a couple of these diamonds on DLive that I saw came in. Google faces a $5 billion lawsuit over tracking users' activities even in private mode. Well, imagine my shock. Okay, unbelievable, right? Can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen, that Google would do such a thing? Do no evil, Google. Decided to spy on you, even though you told them not to. It's outrageous, right? Check down in our description below, because we do have a affiliate link to the Brave browser. It's actually built on Chrome, but they've taken out a lot of the junk and trash. They have built it upon a BAT token, a basic attention token, a cryptocurrency. So they remove all the ads, and it's very good. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's very, very good. I, for example, can't anymore play videos on foxnews.com. I think we had a link to that later. Occasionally, that's showed up in a couple of shows. We have a video in there, and you can't play that. You have to actually disable the Brave browser's shield for that to work. There's a couple of different components why that happens and stuff like that. But it's very good, very accurate. And so instead, they have a kind of an attention system based on it. You can actually tip creators who have verified their basic attention or their Brave account. I guess it is Brave creators account. You can tip up through that. It's actually really good. And of course, if you get the affiliate link from us, download and install the browser and use it. We get a little bit from those tips and stuff like that as well. So it's a good way of supporting us. Get away from Google. Stop using it. Stop using it as a search engine. Do not use Chrome. Whatever they do, you don't use it. If you have to use YouTube, use it in with a good browser that has ad blocker or, you know, Brave, something like that, to not give them all your data and stuff like that, your tracking. So anyway, not surprising. So we'll see what happens. We'll follow up on the lawsuits here that was filed with a U.S. District Court in San Jose on Tuesday. The complaint states that Google has violated the American federal wiretap law and the California privacy law by collecting information about what people look at in the news, search for online, and do on their mobile apps, even when they turn off tracking in their account settings or switch browsers to private mode. We've heard about the YouTube stuff, right? You can talk about something with a friend or your even, you know, whoever, and your phone is there, and you get whatever the issue is, right? If you have, for example, the YouTube app installed, that's what I forgot, neglected to say. If you have the YouTube app installed, probably the Google app too, it listens to the audio and looking for keywords and stuff. And so if you mention certain things, I don't know, painting your house, going on a vacation, buying a car, whatever, you get targeted ads about those kinds of things. This is the kind of dirty stuff that they do. This has been out for years, known. So we'll see what happens, if anything, regarding the lawsuits about that. This one also real quick here. TikTok was fined in South Korea for collecting data on children under the age of 14 without parental consent and not notifying of overseas transfer of users' personal data. Big surprise. TikTok, as you know, is a cancer. And it's actually, I saw the U.S. was contemplating banning it, which is a bold move. Won't help anything. I think India banned it. And I think they launched something in India called the TacTac or something like that. Pretty innovative stuff from India there. All right, before we dive into Ghislaine Maxwell here, let me read a couple of these real quick. Boys and girls from over on DLive, check the others in a moment here. John Saxa sends a diamond. It says, "Hail Henrik, hail Red Ice, happy hump day." Well, happy hump day to you. Good to see you here. Thank you, John Saxa. I appreciate it. A couple of subs handed out by Mr. Noseberg. I appreciate that very much. Thank you, Mr. Noseberg. Always good to see you as well. The last red squirrel, a diamond. Thank you, no message. Same with Obergroiper, two in a row, no message, two diamonds in a row. Sign Wolf with a Ninja Genie says, "Still everything will be fine if Trump is reelected though, right?" Oh, definitely. Everything is going to be great. Don't worry about it. Just as long as Trump gets back in office, we'll be golden. You know, it's, it could, if, I mean, obviously Biden could get in, don't get me wrong. It's still a chance for that. But likelihood is that he will be, you know, die of like something, or the dementia will be too strong at that point, and whoever's the VP which looks to be diversity hires, if you will. A non-white woman seems to be the top pick there. So that will be our president here if Trump does not win. But maybe it's better to get it off sooner, get it over with, rather, sooner rather than later. Silosopher with a diamond, no message, thank you. Obergreuper again with 1, 2, 3 diamonds in a row, thank you. Silosopher again with a diamond, no message. Master Joni Maverick with a diamond, thank you, sir, no message. McCooley with a Ninja Genie, thank you, no message. The last Red Squirrel again with a diamond says, love Red Eyes. Well, thank you, man, love you too. Robo Think with a diamond, thank you, good to see you. Corpasonen with a diamond says, think what you want about Dr. William Pierce, but dot, dot, dot. Many, many things you could insert there. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Cactus Kirk, I think it is. Cactus Kirk with a diamond. Thank you. Amara Arian, good to see you as well, says with a diamond, simply redicemembers.com. Thank you for the plug, sir. Conrad Kurz is here as well. Good to see you, sir. No message, but a diamond attached to that. Thank you. And stuff like that with a diamond says, idea, remove a flashing caution GIF, too distracting. Yeah, maybe someone the one up here, that one? Is it that bad? Or maybe it is bad. I was playing around with some fun animation stuff. I'll think about it. If it's too distracting. I thought it was some sticker on DLive or something. I'll think about it. Thank you. Corpasorn again with a diamond, I guess, follows up on that comment with, but his most predictions are coming true. Yeah, a lot of them are, aren't they? Pretty crazy stuff. Thank you, Corpasorn. I appreciate it. Virginian Drifter with a diamond says, love G. Edward Griffin and Bill Cooper in intro. Yeah, I mean, that's part of the Flashback Friday that we run. Don't run it today, but those are good. I like them too. Good old voices we bring back occasionally. Daniela Gretsch with a diamond says, I binge on Red Ice Archive while studying. Well, awesome. Thank you. We do have a lot in the archive, so definitely check it out, boys and girls. All right, so let's get to this here. Ghislaine Maxwell regarding her first appearance in court. Let me just double check here. Entropy stream, nothing there. Actually, a couple of here on Donor Box. Let me do those real quick here, boys and girls. What do we have? We have Jacob H. with $10. Thank you, sir. He says, the thought never even crossed my mind to be racist, sexist, or homophobic, but I swear I've had it up to about mid-torso with all these midgets. I guess reference to Tucker, I would assume. Thank you, Jacob. Conrad K. Conrad Curse, thank you, sir. Sends $25. Appreciate it. Thank you so much, man. He says, once again, sending what I can to help. Well, thank you, dude. Really appreciate it, as always. Truly wish I could do more. Before Red Eyes, I was just another clueless white guy pissed off about what was happening. Now I have have direction and guidance to keep me moving forward, sending as many as I can to you, White Rabbit Radio, and No White Guilt. Well, thank you, Conrad. I really appreciate it, and thank you so much for those kind words. We do the best we can. All right, so this was interesting. It was a court here, I guess, over phone and all the COVID stuff or whatever, but there was a journalist that actually sat in and reported on this live as it was happening on Twitter, I guess. But of course, she pleaded, Ghislaine Maxwell, not guilty in first court appearance. Jeffrey Epstein's alleged accomplice pleaded not guilty during a virtual hearing on Tuesday, her first sentence being arrested and charged with conspiracy, enticing minors to engage in sex and more. Let's scroll down to this here. Because it was, and this is crazy, right? She, the actual court date is set to 1 year out. Let me see here. Where were we? Yeah, the trial date is set for July 2021. In other words, she will be then, presumably, and we don't know which jail yet. Is it the same one that Epstein was in? There was rumors about that early on. She'll be 1 year in that jail before her trial date begins, right? It's just crazy. Here's the lady here who did this, Jennifer Taub. She was, she will remain in federal prison until her trial in 2021. I still haven't heard which prison that is, but this is the lady who did that, right? Jennifer Taub. She was live tweeting. She was like on the conference call or whatever. Let me see here. Okay, they go through a couple of names here. We're now turning to the bail argument portion of the hearing. is going to pull some of these out. The government made a motion for detention. Judge will hear first from the government, then victims, then Mr. Cohen. Cohen agrees with this plan. Ellison Moe said that Ghislaine Maxwell, quote, pose an extreme risk for flight. Says pre-trial services and the victims seek detention. She has not fully disclosed finances, strong international ties, ability to live beyond the reach of extradition, strong incentives to flee. Moe's presumption has not been rebutted that there's no reasonable assurance that she will come back for to court for trial. Moe runs through indictments about transporting minors, sorry for the flub up here, guys, transporting minors across state lines, conspiracy to sexually exploit children, etc. Moe said Maxwell, quote, enticed and grooms girls who were as young as 14 years old for sexual abuse by Jeffrey Epstein, unquote, and that she participated in some of these acts herself. She was the victim here, right, as she will plead. And that this was not an isolated incident, but instead an ongoing scheme, many victims for years. Moe said Maxwell had been moving from place to place to hide her whereabouts, according to pretrial services. Judge asked Moe if it's accurate that Maxwell's lawyer stayed in touch with government, but Moe said this only began after she was served in connection with Epstein and did not involve sharing her whereabouts and were not substantial. Moe said that Maxwell had insufficient ties to motivate her to stay in the United States, but has ties abroad. Maxwell is a citizen of the UK, France, and owns property in the UK, not to mention Israel, of course. Said France will not extradite a French citizen to the US, and said extradition process in the UK is uncertain. Yeah, so they're arguing about these things. She has significant, undetermined, and undisclosed wealth. Yeah, gee, I wonder what that comes from. Claims she has provided limited, unverified, and questionable information. Maxwell claimed to have $0 per month of income, according to Moe. Judge probes a bit on this zero monthly income. Moe says it doesn't make sense that she has no income given her lifestyle, perhaps trust or other investment income. Another example of being evasive, Maxwell told pre-trial services the NH property in the New Hampshire property where she lives was owned, quote, by a corporation whose name she did not know but was permitted to stay there. Real estate agent told FBI of aliases she used. Interesting. Moe said Maxwell could live off the grid indefinitely. Judge asked Moe about whether, based on briefing that Maxwell resisted opening the door, suggestion of efforts to conceal location monitoring by placing cell phones in foil. Yeah, see, they know these Mossad assets. they know how to do it. All right. Anyway, it goes on for one of the last few ones here. She's had her unbelievable. Ghislaine Maxwell has offered to stay in a luxury hotel in Manhattan on her own dime, but claims to have no monthly income. In conclusion, Moe, on behalf of the government, wants detention. Judge got her to clarify it's not based on dangerous to the community, but insists on resisting on risk of flight. Then they read some statements regarding victims and stuff like that, too. But yeah, it's crazy. So I wanted to try to... Do you guys know the chat? Did you see which what's that? Hospital. She's going to probably plead COVID, right? But or something, just COVID, so she gotta get out. What detention center / prison is she going to? Did you guys see that? Anybody saw that? Is it the same as... Jennifer Thompson, talk about chutzpah, she says. did she get attributed to the same one? I can't find that. I did a quick search before and I just couldn't find a name for about that. I'm just checking the chat right now. Okay, let me check a couple of more of these here, guys. Where are we here? Oh, a couple of subs that's all come in. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Mr. Noseberg again handing out five different subs, I think it is, or three. Thank you, Mr. Noseberg. Appreciate that. MCC in Brooklyn. Is that it? Is that the same as Epstein? I forget the name of Epstein's now. Was it MCC? Let me Google that real quick. See if I can. Oh, okay, that didn't copyright. Let me search that real quick here. MCC Brooklyn. Is that the Muslim Community Center? The MDC. Is it? Metropolitan Detention Center. MCD. MDC, rather, right? Is that the same one? That is the same one, isn't it? Not the same. Okay, all right. Oh, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's pretty crazy stuff. All right. Anyway, let's switch over to this one, guys. Talk about Trump a little bit regarding previous comments, of course. You know, Trump is our savior. He's going to fix everything. He's going to sort it out. In another astonishing fold on his campaign promises and stuff like that. He's backing down on DACA as well and becoming just another one of the pre-existing ones that were pro-DACA. Listen to this here.
And I'm going to be, over the next few weeks, signing an immigration bill that a lot of people don't know about. It. You have breaking news, but I'm signing a big immigration bill.
Is this an executive order?
I'm going to do a big executive order. I have the power to do it as president, and I'm going to make DACA a part of it. But we put it in, and we're probably going to then be taking it out. We're working out the legal complexities right now, but I'm going to be signing a very major immigration bill as an executive order, which Supreme Court now, because of the DACA decision, has given me the power to do that. One of the aspects of the bill is going to be DACA. We're going to have a road to citizenship.
Okay, so that's as an executive order, not as a congressional
bill. If you look at the Supreme Court ruling, they gave the president tremendous powers when they said that you could take in this case, 700,000 or so people. So they gave powers. Based on the powers that they gave, I'm going to be doing an immigration bill. One of the aspects of the bill that you'll be very happy with and that a lot of people will be, including me and a lot of Republicans, by the way, will be DACA. We'll give them a road to citizenship.
Incredible. Incredible, right? Wow. So, you know, that's I don't know. I mean, it's what can you say? You know, no wall, full DACA, you know, path to citizenship and all that stuff. He's back down on everything, single thing. To his credit, though, regarding this that came up, was, I think it was yesterday trending. He mentioned white people. Yes, it actually happened. It happened by I think it was a CBS Evening News segment. They were doing something, but maybe it was live or something about crime or cops killing, you know, black people or whatever, and Trump actually fired back. It was good to see. He actually mentioned, this is the only few times he mentions white people directly is in these kinds of settings. He can't say it if for example, you know, he talks about black unemployment rate, Asian, Latino unemployment rate, how good things go for them, etc. He can't really do it in a positive, you know, light, in that sense that he's done something good for white people. But when it comes to being, I guess, victims, which ultimately is really, if you think about it, a negative trait, right? That whites are also subjected to this mistreatment kind of thing. He did stand up for, he stood up to the fact that he mentioned white people. Check it out, segment here.
Let's talk about George Floyd. You said George Floyd's death was a terrible thing.
Terrible.
Why are African Americans still dying at the hands of law enforcement in this country?
And so are white people. So are white people. What a terrible question to ask. So are white people. More white people, by the way. More white people.
Let's talk about George Floyd.
That is true. Actually, of course, people were outraged against this. Even today, I saw he was abolish suburbs was trending on Twitter, which is more of the same kind of thing. You know, Trump lashes out against something, whatever, which, of course, is objectively true, right? I mean, Obama started this idea with, like, racist zip codes. They wanted to technically abolish white suburbs because a lot of white people live there. And so he roped that into one of his tweets and stuff, which is, you know, good that it brings attention to that, and it's true. But the outrage around these things are just hilarious to watch. It's incredible. You know, people actually thought, I guess many people thought it was a good idea. Yeah, that's where the white people live. Let's do it. But yeah, racist zip codes was one of the HUD program that Obama initiated. Was one of the last things he did was to, you know, strike a knife in the back of white Americans, essentially, by saying, well, where you live, there's too many white people. We have to change that because that's racist, right? But it is true, though, what he said. Just statistically, in terms of how many people are shot to death by cops, right? And of course, there's a lot of ways you can break down the statistics, and you also should. I think the ultimate, the best statistics to do it according should technically be if you break down, what do you call it, encounters, right? Civilian encounters with police, and then break that down by race and see, well, how many encounters are there I forget how many. There's millions of encounters every year in America. How many are with white people versus black? And then you look at how many people get shot, right? And you can get a number. But he, in terms of that, he's correct. I mean, 2017 statistics, light blue, 2018 statistic in dark blue, 2019 in gray, and then red, 2020. And of course, there's less there now because it's just halfway through the year. But yes, statistically, more white people are shot. But then also, you know, then people say, well, you have to adjust for the population numbers and the demographics and stuff. But the point is, if you break it down per encounters, I mean, it's statistically true that more young black men commit crimes than white people do overall. So they are more likely to have encounters with police, which from there, then you can deduce the actual numbers. And I believe still, though, accounting for all those things, that more white people are shot than blacks. But, you know, they can't have that, right? So this popped up on Twitter just right after that, essentially. It was outrage, of course. Now journalists are sharing data showing black people are more likely to be killed by police after Trump says more white people are killed. In an interview with CBS, Trump was asked why so many black Americans continue to be killed by law enforcement. And, you know, this number is very, very low, right? Per year, it's like, what was it, 9 last year or something? I mean, it's very low considering how many encounters there are with police, right? But this is a narrative they drum continuously to make it seem that there's some kind of systemic, you know, racism and in policing. There's an anti-black bias and all this kind of stuff, right? Which is not true. There's been studies on this. And, you know, even when it comes to shooting or firing your weapon against a, you know, perceived threat, I would assume, or a criminal, whatever, I guess, you know, people are less likely to, most likely that they shoot, I think it was Hispanics first and then whites and then last was black. You know, there's a couple of, you know, reports on this. Some people have looked into the statistics. There isn't really. The media says this because it's a fifth column and they want to remove and blame the police. And we're living in an anti-white system. They need this to get their way, right? So this is one of those things they need to continue to drive home in their Marxist Bolshevik takeover. To essentially remove the cops, right? Anyway, Trump responded by saying, so are white people. What a terrible question to ask. So are white people. More white people, by the way. And then they say here, multiple studies show, this is a hilarious ending here, multiple studies show that black Americans are killed by the police at much higher rates than white people, according to the Washington Post, Snopes, and other news organizations. Say, Snopes is now, I guess, a news organization. Totally not biased, totally on the money every single time. Unbelievable. He does look a bit sweaty there. In the, is this the Rose Garden? Let's check that out.
Let's talk about George Floyd. You said George Floyd's death was a terrible thing.
Terrible.
Why are African Americans still dying at the hands of law enforcement in this country?
And so are white people. So are white people. What a terrible question to ask. So are white people. More white people, by the way. More white people.
More white people. Thank you, Trump. You know, you think you just ready to leave him behind, and then he does something like that again. I don't know. It's not much to as we say in Swedish, hang in the Christmas tree, hang in the Yule tree, which is a saying we use. All right. So that was the statistics on that. Let's switch over to the COVID lies here a little bit too. A lot to cover today, as I said. So I'm going to try to move somewhat swiftly through this. If we don't get through it. 33 labs in Florida have just been busted cooking the books. And now they have been reporting. You can't make this up, right? But yeah, so they have reported that there is a 98% positivity rate rather than a 9.8 positivity rate, which of course is quite significant, if you ask me. Now, of course, you have to wonder how many other states is this happening in? Is there is this happening in Texas? You know, all these other states that are now on basically on the, well, in some cases they have locked down again, and they're on the verge of locking down. Was it Florida, Texas? I think Virginia was going to make some statement here too. I thought we could just check out that clip real quick from Fox 35 Orlando. Florida Department of Health says some labs have not reported negative COVID-19 results. Let's just listen to this here.
Monday, shattering the national record for the most coronavirus cases in a single day with 50.
And again, just, you know, you guys know this, but I'm just reminding you again, this is completely nonsensical. No, there's never been anybody that just tried to positively, confirm cases of the flu, right, or anything like that. It's just this is dumb. To me, it doesn't mean anything. You have to look at death rates, right? What are the death rates? Are the death rates up? Otherwise, it could just mean, well, you've contracted this coronavirus, which is part of the family of the common cold, right? The same family of viruses. And you might not have any symptoms. It might be asymptomatic. I mean, I see new things on this all the time. Oh, it's like you can't be asymptomatic, but that doesn't mean you infect others. Then next week they say, well, in fact, you can infect way more if you don't have... I mean, I see contradiction information every single day on this shit. But the point is, no one should care about number of cases. It doesn't mean anything. What is the death rate? And already there we know there's a problem because they are cooking the books with the death rates as well. They claim that people are dying of COVID-19 when they're just dying with it, right? They manage to do a positive confirmation that they're infected or whatever, but then they have died of heart disease or other complications, other issues, right? Anyway, let's listen to this here.
15,300 today. Florida once again has more new cases than any other state, with more than 12,000.
Garbage.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Luann Sorrell.
I'm Charles Belay. Statewide, the positivity rate is now 11%, and that number has been key in the debate over how to fight this virus. Fox 35 investigating the numbers tonight. There are dozens of labs that process tests. On the state's website, we found numerous labs that are only reporting positive test results. So they show a 100% positivity rate.
Yeah,
that
right.
Got our attention. Fox 35's Robert Guadarrama has been investigating. And Robert, once you started asking questions, you uncovered a new issue with these numbers.
Charles, that's absolutely right. Orlando Health confirming its numbers on the report are wrong. The Florida Department of Health releasing its daily coronavirus testing report, showing a statewide positivity rate of 11%. But Fox 35 quickly noticing some shocking positivity rates. Countless labs reporting 100% positivity.
Oops.
That means every single person tested was positive. We sifted through the report.
And of course, ironically though, that could be correct because the tests are so bad and there's so many problems with this stuff that, and as we know, many of them, they keep testing people until they test them positive. There's so many ins and outs of this. Now, this has become a Gordian knot, but the fact is that this is bullshit, right? This is complete bullshit that they've exaggerated these numbers. But this is why they've walked away from looking at death rates and now just talk about confirmed cases to keep this, at this stage, this massive hoax, this coup attempt to take over destruction of the little guy, essentially, right? To for this monopoly coup and takeover here to continue to perpetuate this lie. It's amazing.
It's to find local testing sites with high numbers, like this Centricare. 83 people tested and all positive. Check out the Orlando VA, a positivity rate of 76%. NCF Diagnostics has a location in Alachua. 88% of tests coming back positive, and 98% for Orlando Health. How could that be? We investigated these astronomical numbers, contacting every location mentioned. Orlando Health, the only to respond, confirming errors in the report. Its positivity rate is, in fact, only 9.4%.
Oops. All right.
Now, we just heard back from the Orlando VA. They are looking into the numbers. We haven't heard back from the other two labs or the Florida Health Department of Health, of course. It makes you wonder if these numbers are wrong. Are other numbers on the report?
No, that's not possible. That has never been possible. Generally, they never lie about the statistics and the numbers. It just doesn't happen.
Also wrong. We'll stay on top of this story. Reporting live in Orlando, I'm Robert Guadarrama, Fox.
Look at look at the mask here too, though, and this bullshit with the mask and every reporter I've seen. There was one that was just absolutely hilarious. It was, what source was that again? It was about, it was actually the, let me see if I can find that real quick. It's worth looking at that. It was actually about the, the St. Louis couple. The St. Louis couple that had they were served with a search warrant. Let me see if I can find that real quick. And the lady that was reporting on that and her mask and stuff, the way that it was falling off. Let's see if this is the source here.
We want to up.
Yeah, look at just. I know we're derailing here a little bit. Let me just see here. Take a look at this. This is incredible stuff. Right at the end, too. Check this out here.
Our breaking news.
And this is an interesting story, too, by the way. We covered this one in Weekend Warrior. So the point is not to cover the fact that the McCloss case was served with a search warrant and the cops took his rifle and stuff. But the reporter here, check this out.
The couple in the Central West End who came with a rifle. Justina Court spoke.
Well, Casey, just to give you some background, at the end of last month, protesters took the streets of Central West End and then turned onto Portland Place behind me here. And that's when they were confronted by a husband and wife armed with a rifle and a pistol. And tonight, sources tell us police were here and took one of those weapons. Now, in the photos
This story is just crazy, but let me skip forward here right at the end, and you can see her face mask. These reporter, as it's like coming off her face and stuff, and check this out. This is hilarious.
Said it was peaceful, and they did nothing to provoke the McCloskeys. Now, their attorney says that they're hoping to meet with Kim Gardner's office next week, but no appointment
she's eating
has been
it right
scheduled
now
that we know of yet. And of course, as we learn more information, we'll make sure to update you as soon as possible. Casey, back to you.
Oops. All right. Hope you enjoyed that as much as I did when I said, like, what? This is completely useless. Like, what? This is not going to do anything, lady. All right. Anyway, derailing there. But so the same guy there, look at the mask right at the end. He's like, they're fiddling with this thing and it's coming off. Actually, I have a couple of things about the mask itself regarding what bullshit it is. But yeah, so of course, numbers, Sarah Hedge reported on this too. Florida labs acknowledge major errors after reporting positivity rates of 100%. So the question is, how did this happen? How can you have a positivity rate of actually 9.8% but claim that it's 98%? Who's going to be held responsible for that? Is there going to be investigations? Can we get an answer to that? There's nothing so far, right? It was just, we've confirmed, right? That kind of stuff. So that'll be very interesting to follow up on. But just know that when you get the numbers, you're not being told the truth. And the numbers are being cooked because they're playing a propaganda coup takeover with this COVID thing. It's about obedience. It's about submission. It's about destroying parts of the economy. It's about consolidating more wealth to a bigger company. There's a lot of things going on why they would do something like this, right? This one, check out this one too. Interesting. The National Retail Federation, another retail industry trade group, has also given top retailers a, quote, de-escalation script to share with their employees if a customer attempts to enter a store without a mask. Let me just click in on this here. Best Buy will require customers to wear masks in its stores. I'm not sure there have been... Just mute that real quick here. Best Buy said Tuesday that it will require all shoppers coming into its stores to wear a face mask. It's the latest mask mandate for customers announced by a major chain at the time when coronavirus cases across the country are continuing to rise, which means absolutely nothing. Look at the death rate. Oh, nice transition there, cube for you. Look at the death rate, and then, you know, we can talk, basically, right? But even that, as we know, has been cooked. Starbucks said last week it will require customers to wear facial covering or masks in all of its 9,000 company-owned U.S. stores beginning Wednesday. Costco. So again, it's all the big box stores like Costco, Best Buy. More than 3.3 million people now tested positive, blah, blah, blah. Let me see if I can find that here regarding the, here it is. Industry group said, and union said they're also trying to rally around mask requirements for customers. Last week, the Retail Leader Industry Association and Industry Trade Group called on the nation's governors to pass statewide mandates requiring citizens to wear masks in public. The United Food and Commercial Workers Union also urged government officials and business leaders to require masks for customers in an advertisement over the weekend. Although no federal mandate to wear a mask exists, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention says everyone should wear a cloth face cover when they have to go out in public. Like, why? What is this going to do? We'll look at this in a moment here. The CDC said that face coverings are meant to protect other people. Yeah, bullshit. But most retailers and grocers have hesitated to act on their own mask mandates for customers during the pandemic, partly over fears of antagonizing shoppers who refuse to wear them. Retailers have said that they are reluctant to put their employees in the position of enforcing mask requirements. A security guard at a Family Dollar store in Michigan was shot and killed in May after he told a customer to wear a mask. And in recent weeks, videos of confrontations between angry customers and clerks over these rules have gone viral. And then later on down here, they talk about this portion here. The National Retail Federation, another retail industry trade group, has also given top retailers a de-escalation script to share with their employees if a customer attempts to enter a store without a mask where it's required either by the store or local measures. The script includes tips such as being aware of customers' body language, remaining calm, and calling 911 if a customer threatens violence. This is what 911 calls is going to be, right? Now it's like with the Karen Act, with a C, right? The Karen Act. Essentially, if you... It's gonna urge specifically white women, but white people overall, to make calls if it's against a non-white perp, because then you could be charged for for discrimination and stuff like that. So that's not what's gonna happen now with 9/11 cars. It's gonna go towards customers entering big box stores who refuse to wear a mask, essentially. A Best Buy representative said the company will have a quote designated specially trained employee at the front of the store to welcome customers, reminding them of our new policy, and provide them a mask if they don't have one. Unbelievable. This is just, they're going with this. They are going with this. This is the new normal. It's just never going to end, this shit. Face masks mandated by UK government specifically say they do not protect against COVID-19. Of course they don't. We know that, right? I know that they're hammering this line, well, it's to protect others from your spittle, you know, or whatever. But the fact is, it's like largely useless. And as you can see, it just falls off the faces of people all the time and stuff. But yeah, they specifically, though, on the box that they provided, actually specify that it does not provide any protection against COVID-19 or other viruses or contaminants. Anything other than a tight-fitting surgical-grade mask are utterly pointless, they said here. So that happened. Check that out. Here's the actual box here. So you can see that. Go up full screen on that for you there. This product is an ear loop mask. This product is not a respirator and will not provide any protection against COVID-19. I mean, you guys know this, right? But still. Or other viruses or contaminants. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. A couple of other things here, COVID-related. UK HuffPost, a UK politics account here, ended up tweeting out, exclusive coronavirus test data held back from publication due to community cohesion concerns. And Orwell and Goodhear said, wait, I thought diversity was a strength. Now it's not. What is this? We're getting mixed messages on this COVID stuff. Anyway, here's New York Times, right? Just to underline that very point that we mentioned, the cases are up, which basically means, you know, presumably they are doing the tests even, but who do we know? If they put 100% on these in some of these locations, maybe they don't even test people. They just put 100 there. We don't know, right? But so the cases are up, but deaths are still down. New York Times, they reported on this here a couple of days ago. This seemingly counterintuitive trend might not last, experts said, but the nation can still learn from the decline. Oh, good. So, you know,
we want to update our breaking news from the top of the show concerning the couple.
Let me close this here. There we go. Yeah, it auto starts. Hey, when it does that, let me go back here. Yeah, so that's the New York Times piece. Of course, they spin it in some way. I saw this from The Atlantic, too, which is kind of funny. They always have to spin it in some way, right? Every time. COVID-19 cases are rising, so why are deaths flatlining? It's not only that they're flatlining, they're like decreasing now. The gap between soaring cases and falling deaths is being weaponized by the right, Derek Thompson from The Atlantic says here. And that's down to claim a hollow victory in the face of shameless failure. What's really going on? This is from a few days ago. But yeah, it doesn't matter even if deaths are down. They found some way of spinning it, that this is some kind of, it's a right-wing conspiracy that the deaths are flatlining or declining. And you should be very wary of this information. It's just incredible. All right, let me do a couple of these real quick before we move on in the order here, guys. Purus777 with a diamond. Thank you, sir. And then followed with a Ninjagini. Thank you. Good to see you, Purus. Hope you're doing well. We have Purus777 as well with a Ninjet. I was going to say Ninjagini. Ninjet, thank you, sir. I really appreciate it. That's very, very nice of you. Very kind of you. Happy Wednesday, sir, he says. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for the support, man. I really appreciate it. Mr. Wright with a Ninjagini, thank you. And again, he sends one, Mr. Wright sends one, two, three, four diamonds in a row. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Obergreuper with a diamond as well. No message. Vizor58 with the diamonds has been listening to Red Eyes for 8 years. Thank you. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. That's cool. That's we've been with us for a long time. I really appreciate that. That's good to hear. Black Philip with the diamond says they are shaming gym goers here, calling us selfish. Yeah, I mean, I saw the other day. It was a tweet about Disney World has opened. I know that they do this in a lot of different outlets or whatever, but Disney World decided to open and stuff, and it was like they're giving massive backlash. Like somehow they're murdering people just for like opening Disney World. Now, personally, I would never go there after what Disney has done and what they've become and all that kind of stuff. But like after 4 months, almost more than 4 months now, where playgrounds are locked and you can't go outside, you can't go to parks and stuff. It's crazy. Like there was zero understanding for why you would want to like do something with your kids and head outside and like do something fun, do something different, being cooped up and being inside all the time. It's crazy. It's crazy. A woman who I found out was a dog owner. She didn't have kids, of course. Was talking about how, and this tweet had like 200,000 likes or something like that. It was crazy. It was like, something must be broken in you if you have to go to Disney World, to be entertained right during a pandemic or something like that. I was like, you clearly don't have like kids, lady. It's like it's been locked for 4 months in many of these places. You can't even go to a playground with your kids. It's crazy. Now I agree, Disney World is not the first option, right? But still. All right, let me see here. Yeah, so Black Philip, it's crazy, right? They're shaming people for, just wanting to be outside and stuff. It's gonna go right back to this shit. They're gonna lock down again because of this. Let's double check here. Bill H over on DonorBox sends $20. Thank you, sir. And he says, "Have you ever looked into how Dianne Feinstein became mayor of San Francisco? It's very shady. She was on the city council. The mayor and deputy mayor were assassinated, really, which left it wide open for her to become mayor. The guy that killed them was left off due to the low blood sugar defense." What? The guy that killed them was let off due to a low blood sugar defense because he claims he ate junk food. Then the guy committed suicide. Also, her husband died the same year as well. It sounds like a Mossad operation to gain more control over major cities. I've not looked into that. Moscone Milk, is that his name? Moscone Milk assassination? I'll have to look into that. Thank you for the link, though, Bill Hoover. That sounds very bizarre. I wouldn't put it past him. We know about the game, the MSNBC guy, right? What is his name again? He has Morning Joe Scarborough, right? Remember that weird case? He was like, he was in Senate at that point, I think, for Florida. And like one of his interns, a young woman, was turned up dead in his office and stuff like that. I mean, these people do shit like that. But yeah, the Moscone Milk assassination, I've never heard of it. I wonder why. I'll look into it and see if Feinstein is involved in that. I mean, yeah, that's to do with the Harvey Milk and George Moscone. I got to look into that. Anyway, thank you for the link, sir. I appreciate that. Very nice of you. All right, quickly on this one here, Moderna. We've talked about them for quite a while here, regularly reported on them because they're one of the companies that are slated to develop this new experimental vaccine, an mRNA vaccine, which they have admitted themselves, and we've showed it on the show. Their own white paper shows that if they are successful in penetrating the nucleus, basically deliver the payload of this of the intended genetic code, it will permanently alter the genetics of the person that is taking the vaccine. They've never had a product brought to market, yet billions of dollars have been raised by Moderna for this experimental new vaccine. But now it shows here, remember they're going to do this very fast, they're going to have something by autumn, maybe even early next year. Zero Hedge was reporting on this here. Moderna COVID-19 vaccine induced adverse reactions in, quote, more than half of trial participants. A highly anticipated clinical trial for a potential COVID-19 vaccine, managed in part by the American drug company Moderna, has resulted in some adverse effects in more than half of the trial's participants, with one test group reporting severe symptoms. The trial, which is also sponsored by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, administered the vaccine, quote, as a 0.5 milliliter injection in the deltoid muscle. In two shots spaced about 1 month apart, two separate groups received 25 milligrams and 100 microgram doses, respectively. A third group with a 250 microgram dose was subsequently added. The vaccine-induced anti-SARS-CoV-2 immune responses in all participants. The research team reported Tuesday in the New England Journal of Medicine. Researchers said that no trial-limiting safety concerns were identified, yet a majority of participants still reported at least one side effect. Of course they did, right? This is nothing strange. The point, too, though, with this is you might, you know, as they say here, fever, joint pain, nausea has been reported, fatigue, chills, headaches, myalgia, and pain at the injection site, blah, blah, blah. These are just like the short-term kind of stuff, right? The problem becomes when the long-term effects come in, kind of like the HPV vaccine for young girls, and they even give to boys, which is crazy. Side effects grew more common with more and larger injections, the scientists write. Systemic adverse events were more common after the second vaccination, particularly with the highest dose. And these participants, 21% in the 250 milligram dose group, reported one or more severe adverse events. It's just crazy. Go ahead. Just play your Russian roulette with these experimental techniques and stuff, and you know mRNA vaccines and shit. Just don't force it on me. I think it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. All right. Let me see here. What else do we have? We had a couple of items we're going to dive into with this here. It's a little bit of a different segment here, but let's talk about some of the recent anti-white hatred that we have seen going on out in the open. Couple of clips to kind of to warm you up a little bit. We're going to get to Nick Cannon here in a moment. You might have heard it and seen the clip. Excuse me, it was going around on Twitter. We'll take a look at this. I don't think this is another rapper, Young Pharaoh. I think the first and second clip is the same clip of the same guy. But this has been going around for a while. The melanin, kind of melanin superiority, like only those with melanin are the real humans, and you know it's like white people are they want to farm this stuff, and you know Yakuba the alien who made white people and stuff, he knows all about this. Anyway, let's check out some of these clips here. Very completely sane and normal stuff here going on. Here we go.
If you're not of African descent, you are 96% human being only, and 4% Neanderthal. Look it up, scientific fact. Only African people or people of African descent or lineage are 100% human beings. This is a scientific genetic fact. Look it up. Now, whoa, where does the difference come in? Because black people, we are the true human beings. We are a true human species. All other races, as you want to call it, have a lineage of Neanderthal being genetic defect. A white person can literally catch cancer from a black person who is conscious because our bodies emit the same radiation as the sun because we are just a condensed form of sunlight. Because I'm emitting a certain level of radiation, which is actually killing them on a substrate level. So a white person for too long cannot even physically survive around an intelligent black person. If you're not of African...
Well, there you go. Case closed, ladies and gentlemen. We are not human. We're some kind of off-world mutant. And, I guess we're lucky that the latter part he mentioned there, that we don't get too many of those then, if you follow my drift. I thought I had that. Okay, yeah, well, but anyway, so this is Young Pharaoh here. And this has been kind of going on. And I'm playing you this to just see that there's a lot of other people that have this kind of, they're in the same kind of vein, right? Because this is the talking points that people like Nick Cannon and others have picked up, right? Here, which I think is from Strucker here on Twitter, at Baron Strucker. Make sure you follow him. He does some good posts. I think this is also the Young Pharaoh, the same guy, if I'm not mistaken. Let's listen to this highly intelligent highly intelligent clip. Let me leave it at that. Here we go. Check it out.
When we're dealing with the Caucasian not having no soul, you have to understand in order to possess the cosmic essence, you have to have melanin, mm-hmm. A specific component of melanin, being neuromelanin, the one with the N, not the E. Caucasians only have pheomelanin, which is animal melanin. They cannot get above the animal plane
subconscious level. You see animals kill, they don't, a lion will kill you and don't lose no sleep. A gorilla will kill you, don't lose no sleep. A cobra will kill you, don't lose no sleep. Mm-hmm. The Caucasian is killing us and don't lose no sleep because they are physically composed of the same melanin phenotype of animals. They do not have the neuromelanin, which is manifested within the neuromelanin nerve tract of the brain that allows you to connect to what you call God, the creator, whatever you identify with God as, and possess a conscience. Why people do not have no conscience? Now, why is this important? Because the pineal gland is crucial to the soul. The soul enters the body through the pineal gland. So if your door is locked, you can't get in your house. 85% of Caucasians have calcified pineal glands, and they also lack neuro and uromelanin. So now, why is this important?
Right.
85% of Caucasians have no gland within their brain that allows your soul to enter the body. So there is a level of...
Pretty interesting stuff, huh?
Let's say spirit that they can never access. They can never access the higher self. 85% of Caucasians, and I believe the number is way higher, but we're dealing with scientific statistics that they document that can be researched and referenced.
Right.
85% of Caucasians cannot, their vehicles cannot intake a soul. They have calcified pineal glands. The door to the body has been shut. And even if they did, they don't have neuromelanin. Neuromelanin is called neuromelanin because it has neurons. It has neurons that allow your thoughts to actually exit through the pineal gland and connect with the realm, the ether realm, non-ether, when you hear people make these statements, or cosmic melanin, and this is how you manifest, this is how you pray, this is how you connect to the creator. So even if the Caucasian doesn't have a calcified pineal gland, they have no neuromelanin. So their thoughts can't connect to the creator. They have no cosmic affiliation. Mm-hmm. They have no cosmic soul.
No cosmic soul. There you go. It's kind of a, I don't know if anybody, you know, some of you have, of course, been with us. We were wallowing a lot of New Age stuff in the early days, and it was, you know, some of it was completely off the wall, and some of it was kind of fun to look into, whatever. But it's, you know, the people like David Wilcock and, you know, some of these other kind of New Agey type of gurus and stuff, they've talked about this kind of stuff, right, with pineal gland and, you know, connecting to the cosmic force and stuff. But what you have here is basically like a black supremacist twists on like a lot of this New Age kind of nuttery. It's kind of funny, actually. And now it's like white people are excluded from that. That's what this research now has. I'm not saying David Wilcock is there, but I'm saying these guys have picked up and used a lot of this like New Agey rhetoric to squeeze it through a black supremacist funnel, essentially, which is kind of funny. But yeah, so let's go to this wildly viewed clip of Nick Cannon talking about it. It is an interesting twist and spin to this one as well. But yeah, this has been going around for years. Like, white people are farming melanin and stuff, and we're, you know, we're jealous of that, or, you know, what, there's a lot of these kinds of things going around. There's some hilarious YouTube videos still out there regarding how, you know, they have stuff we don't have, and they're much better and stuff like that. But let's check it out and see some of the comparative similarities here between was it young Pharaoh and Nick Cannon here. Here we go.
Then let's go to what it really is. Then when we talk about the power of melanated people, when we talk about who we really are as guys, and understanding that our melanin is so power and it connects us in a way that the reason why they fear black, the reason why they fear is because they the lack that they have of it. So then when you see what, you know, Dr. Francis C. Wellesley talked about, is that fear and that
just genetic annihilation,
that deficiency of when you have a person that has the lack of pigment, the lack of melanin, that they know that they will be annihilated. So therefore, however they got the power, they have the lack of compassion. That melanin comes with compassion. Melanin comes with soul. That we call it soul. We soul brothers and sisters. That's the melanin that connects us.
Right.
So the people that don't have it are. And I'm gonna say this carefully, are a little less, and where the term actually comes from, because I'm bringing it all the way back around to Minister Farrakhan, to where they may not have the compassion or the when they were sent to the mountains of Caucasus, when they didn't have the power of the sun, that was that the sun then started to deteriorate, so then they're acting out of fear. They're acting out of low self-esteem. They're acting out of a deficiency. So therefore, the only way that they can act is evil. The only way they can, they have to rob, steal, rape.
Makes sense, though, when you think about it.
Okay. In order to survive.
Exactly.
So then these people who didn't have what we had, and when I say we, I speak of the melanated people.
Right.
They had to be savages. They had.
Now, of course, it continues from here, and here's where it gets funny, right? Because up to this point, there's like no, essentially no problem. This is you know, this is fine. This has gone on checked for years. Now, I don't, who, Nick can't, is he a music artist or something? I don't follow these people. Is he some rap artist or some sports guy or something, I would assume? or is that racist to assume? Maybe I'll Google him a little bit here. This is fine, right? This is okay. All this anti-white hatred, it largely goes unchecked. It's what's going to come up here a little bit later, where the kicker is, where he was sacked from CBS. I forget, I think they had a dibs on his show or something like that. Check out the last portion. It's hilarious.
To be barbaric, they had, because they're in these Nordic mountains. They're in these rough torrential environments, so they're acting as
the Nordic mountains. Listen to that again.
Right.
They had to be savages. They had to be.
Yeah, chat. VK, Nathan Mortensen. Is that Professor Griff? That's what I thought. It was a long time ago. We were. Is it Run DMC that the Professor Griff was in? Is that him? I think it is. We were once close to have him on the show. This is back in like 2008 or 9 or something like that, I think. Didn't pull it off though. Too bad. Yeah, Public Enemy, is that what he's in? Public Enemy. So does it Run DMC? Yeah, Public Enemy, is that him? Maybe someone can confirm.
Barbaric. They had, because they're in these Nordic mountains. They're in these rough,
that's right,
torrential environments. So they're acting as animals.
Right.
So they're the ones that are actually closer to animals. They're the ones that are actually the true savages. And then they built up such this. I don't want to say warrior, but they built up such this conquering, barbaric mentality.
All right, so Nick Cannon says white people are a little less closer to animals. The true savages acting out of deficiency, so the only way they can act is evil. When does he get canceled? Now, I think, was it this? Let's go back in this one a little bit, because I think there's another portion here. Let's take it from here. This is Mimology 101. I think he played that up to that point. Let's check here.
A little less.
Because that clip didn't have the part I want to play here.
And where the term actually comes from, because I'm bringing it all the way back around to Minister Farrakhan, to where they may not have the compassion
or the... Go skip forward a bit here.
Barbaric mentality.
All right, here we go. Yeah, so CBS Viacom ended up firing him. But not for what we saw. Here's the part coming up. The first clip didn't have that there. Here we go. He's talking about people in power.
In order for us to survive, we have to take what's not ours. And then they went into the land that actually where we are originated. Mm-hmm. And instead of trying to make friends, they said, we want what you got, because there's this mentality of the, whether it's the Caesars or even that we have to conquer.
Right, right, right.
So I say all that to say the context. And when we speak of whether it's Jewish people, white people, Europeans, the Illuminati, they were doing that as survival tactics to stay on this planet.
Right, because
we never had to do that.
Right, right, because they've learned when they circumnavigated the globe and they ran into these islands and these places, and we were already there to greet them.
Right. With open arms.
With open arms.
Wait. We were already there to greet them? That's... okay, that's pretty interesting. But he mentioned the third rail right there, right? That's where things derail. Let's go back up a little bit there.
They then said, in order for us to survive, we have to take what's not ours. And then they went into the land that actually where we are originated. Mm-hmm. And instead of trying to make friends, they said, we want what you got. Because there's this mentality of the, whether it's the Caesars or even that, that we have to conquer.
Right, right, right.
So I say all that to say the context. And when we speak of whether it's Jewish people, white people, Europeans, the Illuminati.
Mm.
Same thing.
They were doing that as survival tactics to stay on this planet.
Right, because
we never had to do that.
Right, right, because they've learned when they circumnavigated the globe and they ran into these islands and these places, and we were already there to greet them.
Right.
Right, that were just, when you just go and explore, you bonds into people and just, hey, look at this guy. Now, don't never mind that we told them where they are in relation to the rest of the world, though, but, you know, we stole their wisdom from their heads. What are you going to do?
With open arms.
With open arms. Teaching them, but then
but they were deficient.
Teaching them, so they wanted to get what they thought we had, and we did have it. So the rape took place of the woman.
Mm.
The theft took place of the natural resources.
And then that's when their disease,
exactly.
That's where their mentality, because I'm trying to get to that place of how they were able to get control over the gods.
Nice. He claims he didn't mean to sound racist. A tweet he had made here said, anyone who knows me knows that I have no hate in my heart nor malice intentions. I do not condone hate speech nor the spread of hateful rhetoric. We are living in a time when it's more important than ever to promote unity and understanding. Awesome stuff.
I was just kidding. Come on.
Sorry, answers here.
Come on. You guys know I was just kidding, right?
All right. Yeah, so memeology hits the head on the nail here in terms of the fact that media does not care about the anti-whiteness is okay, right? It's the anti-Semitism that he was nailed on, right? Viacom CBS fires Nick Cannon after he failed to acknowledge or apologize for perpetuating anti-Semitism. Even TMZ had it dropped by Viacom after anti-Semitic remarks. So it's not that it's anti-white. That's not a problem. That's completely okay. It's the fact that he brought Jewish people into his little spiel there. That's what the big problem was. It's hilarious. Yeah, so Viacom CBS, confirmed that it had terminated its relationship with its Wild and Out host, Nick Cannon. Is that all he does? What else does he do? Nick Cannon, what did he do? Let me check his Wiki here. Although I know we can't trust Wikipedia. Occupation. Actor, comedian, rapper, director, writer, producer. He's like a Renaissance man. Does everything. Wild and Out. Spouse, Mariah Carey. But isn't she part white? Am I wrong? Mariah Carey is a spouse. Yeah, Nick divorced in 2016. Okay, well, regardless, you know, 2016. Maybe he's learned more since then about the magic of melanin. The company was referring to comments Cannon made during a recent episode of his podcast, Cannon's Class, which, of course, again, has the Marxist raced black power fists as logos and shit. In a series of posts on his Twitter account, he said he has no hate in his heart and that he does not condone hate speech, nor the spread of hateful rhetoric. Nick Cannon. All right, there you go. Good stuff. So I guess he's picked up on they've joined kind of like Farrakhan and stuff like that in certain things. But so this has been going around for a while. We are, in some cases, whites are we're off planet aliens. We don't really belong. The percentage of Neanderthal DNA that we have makes, of course, them human and us not human, as opposed to the reverse, right? Or however you want to parse that. But of course, in some ways, whites are deficient. It's like mud. They have small penises. That's why they do this, right? Isn't that the argument? But it's incredible. So he was fired for anti-Semitism. That's what he was fired for, ladies and gentlemen. Unbelievable. You can do this. You can do whatever you want against white people, and nothing will come up. Nothing will be. You won't be axed for any hardship against whites, right? Jewish Journal. Nick Cannon said that people are, quote, giving too much power to the they, and the they turns into the Illuminati, the Zionists, the Rothschilds. Jewish groups condemns his remarks as anti-Semitic. Oh, man, you can't make it up. It was just a tiny portion of his hate-filled rant, right? All right, good stuff. Good stuff from the Jewish Journal. As always, very enlightening. So he criticized the wrong race. That's the bottom line, right? All right, let me do a couple of these chats real quick, and then we'll do this one. Some Black Lives Matter stuff going on in the UK. They're replacing the statues over there. Let me back up here a little bit, make sure we got everything in order. I think Black Philip was the last one to see. Unwashed is hosting. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Good to see you, Unwashed. Make sure you followed Unwashed here on DLive. Also see that White Rabbit Radio is hosting. Thank you, Tim. Hope you're doing well. Make sure you follow White Rabbit Radio as well. Deconstruct with a diamond says, erudite and cogent as expected. Thank you. Very erudite. Neo DeLorean with diamond says he was trying to make his biceps look bigger. But in the photo, I must have missed that. Ragnar with the diamond says we need Thor, not the Marvel version. Tend to agree. Deconstruct with the diamond says the year 2099, there are 3 billion Africans. Yeah, I know. The end of the century. We show the statistics many times. Mr. Noseberg with a diamond says, I can't even be mad at these guys. It's so dumb. LOL. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I mean, it's just what you get. It's not. Who's offended by this, really? Does he deserve to get canned? No, not really. I mean, he shouldn't be. I mean, it's fun because they do it this to anyone that's slightly offensive and stuff. But the fact is, if he would have left the Jewish groups out of it, if he hasn't mentioned Rothschild or Zionism or anything like that, this would have been nothing for him, right? That's the transgression. And that's what's maddening about this, too. Daredevil's advocate with a diamond says, just checking in to drop a diamond, watching later. Okay, well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you for joining in a little bit live, at least. Black Philip with the diamond says, Henrik knows Denmark is all flat, no mountains. Ha. It is true. It is true. Those Nordic mountains. I mean, obviously, we have up on the Norwegian side, we have a lot, right? Sweden has a couple. Kebnekaise said it's decent, you know, but... Norway has the big ones. Denmark is just flat earth. Middle earth. Neil DeLorean again with the diamonds says, any idea who was behind this ideology? I guess referring to Nick Cannon. It's kind of evolved over the years as far as I've watched it. It's kind of the we was Kangs with like the kind of the magical melanin kind of theories mixed with this the off-world stuff and like the whites are, you know, whether they're demons or... Yeah, aliens or something. We don't really belong here. That, you know, it's kind of transmorphed into its own thing, which is kind of interesting. But original? No, I cannot. I don't remember this. This goes way back. I think there was like some, you know, Marxist professors and stuff even in the 70s. I think that were kind of heading in this direction. But I'd have to pull that out. I looked into it a few years ago. I forgot a lot of that. Excuse me. Mary Folk with a diamond says the flag on the Nordic mountains on the moon. Yeah, thank you. The last red squirrel with a diamond. No message. Urak at Desperin with a diamond says Europeanus. That's right. Your Obergreuper with a diamond. Thank you. Started to lose my voice. It was happens after like 2 hours. Well, 1.5 of streaming. All right, let me do this. Let me switch over to, let me just double check so we have nothing on Entropy Stream or the other one. We do have one actually, Squirrels. 10 Canadian bucks. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Says melanin block harmful UVA rays, but it also blocks UVB, which is necessary for vitamin D. Somalis are 27 times more deficient in vitamin D in Sweden and make up most of the COVID deaths, for example. Absolutely true. Mentioned this many times myself. I presume that this is the main reason POC, people of color, have so many health problems in our northern climates, but they cite racism. Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. And also, they can't talk about that because that would entail racial differences, even though they're visually, you can visually confirm those differences. But they have to stay quiet about that because otherwise that would be a de-incentivizing factor of them not only moving to northern climates, but also... It's useful for them to kind of have that card to, we have more issues here. It's because of racism. You have to change your society now kind of thing. But yeah, it's true. It's crazy that no one tells these poor people that they shouldn't be in Scandinavia because it's a health risk to them. All right. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Let me double check donor box as well. I think Bill Hoover was the last one. Yes, it was. All right, let's switch over to this one here. I've had it on screen for a little bit here. So do you guys remember the statue that came down in Bristol of Edward Colston. Well, finally, they have put up a new statue, and they decided to put up a statue of a black BLM protester. Here's the clip from New York Times. No, wrong one. Here we go.
It's an amazing feeling. It's really exciting, but obviously we can't forget as to why that statue is there and what it represents. For me, getting on that plinth, you know, I raised my fist to give power back to the people, back to the slaves who died at the hands of Colston. I gave power to George Floyd, and, you know, and for other black people who have faced injustices for being black, you know? So that's, and it really kind of captures that.
Mm, yeah, because blacks were the only ones that were enslaved. They're the only people that have suffered injustices in the world. But yeah, as we said, we called that, right? Let me just go down out of that full mode screen. Statue of black protester is raised in place of Bristol slave trader. Pause here. The image of Jen Reed, fist clenched atop the plinth in the English city, where Edward Colston once stood, became a symbol of protests online. Now it's there in resin and steel. Here's one from the Telegraph here. Check out this one. Good stuff. It's only cameras. It was put up before dawn without approval from city officials. Great. Are they going to take it down? Of course not. The sculpture is named A Surge of Power, Jen Reed.
I think it's amazing. It looks like it belongs there. It looks like it's been there forever. it's something that fills me with pride. Yeah, I absolutely love
pride.
It came about, obviously, at the Black Lives Matter protest on the Sunday. I stood on the plinth, and my husband had taken a picture of me and posted that on his social media. And it kind of went viral from there. So, yeah, and then he was contacted by Mark. I've seen a picture of your wife on the plinth, and I really would like to speak to her. I'd like the council to keep it here because of obviously what it represents and who was there prior.
They probably will.
It's a decision that they're going to have to make. I think the most important thing is that something is up there replacing Edward Colston, and for people to discuss, educate, learn, and just keep talking about, you know, BLM.
You just keep talking about it, but we'll also tear down your history and tear down your ancestors, and we'll put ourselves up there. But, you know, we'll keep talking as we change and transform your countries, not only demographically, but its structures, its safety, its way of doing things, turning your countries into like a Marxist hellhole. But, you know, it's a discussion. We have the discussion.
I think it's something that's incredible for the movement. It's, you know, it just shows what can come out of a protest. And
yeah, you can if you protest, you can put your own people on these plinths and up on the pedestals, right? That's what it's about, getting your own ass up there. Worship us now. We are the statues. Although this lady and her ancestors didn't build the UK. They didn't fight for the UK. They didn't bleed for the UK. They're newly arrived. But that doesn't matter. That's what happens when you replace the history of a country and you're being conquered, essentially.
How, you know, it's moving forward. It's talking about people educating themselves as to why we have a Black Lives Matter movement. So yeah, I think it's a great day for Bristol. I think it's a great day for Black Lives Matter.
All right. Holy shit. All right. There you go. Good stuff. Hope you enjoy that. So it's fun covering that. But we call it, right? That's what it's going to be. Let's talk about BLM a little bit more here. They've done some crazy shit, as they always do. Continuing, here's Black Lives Matter started a riot in an otherwise peaceful restaurant in Dallas by attacking customers and staff. Let's check it out.
Check it out. Check it out. See? See? She's cursing. We got little kids out here. She's still cursing. This is the face of mental retardation. Look at it. That's the entire problem with this right now. is they're out here right now trying to act a fool. That's all they want to do. That's all they want to do. That's all they want to do. See, here we go. Here we go. See, here we go. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. See? They create. They create. They create the unrest. And then they get upset when someone actually speaks up for themselves. That's the problem. See, we got more people coming right now. That's all they want to do. That's all they want to do. This is not what we should be doing. This is not how we should react. This is not how we should be carrying ourselves. Look at this. Little white dude over here right now with his finger up in the air. Thinking he's doing something. Look at this. I was just enjoying.
It's funny though, because you can always blame whites. No matter what you do, if it's Black Lives Matter, you can always blame whites. It's those smaller white guys with their skateboards. That's the problem.
Evening,
right?
Until these people showed up.
It's like, yeah, yes, it's their Marxism. We didn't. Oh, obviously, yes, and we know that. And it's they're using each other. It's Antifa. It's BLM. And they're all just it's just weaved into one glob to like. Well, essentially to create the chaos that we're now going to get the solution for. Well, I'll show you in a moment here what I mean when I say that. But they're intentionally antagonistic so that you will get a response out of this. That's why they're so over-the-top violent. That's why they're tearing down statues and all that kind of shit, too. It fulfills an objective in terms of, like, you know, the historical, the culture war and tearing down history of Europeans and stuff like that. But the reaction is going to be very interesting to watch once that comes around. We'll look at those clips in a moment here.
And now they've ruined a peaceful evening. We had live music out here. They're ruining this evening just because someone actually spoke up for themselves. This guy, now they're throwing shit. Look at this. Now they're throwing shit. See, here we go. Dallas Police is out here. Yep, Dallas Police. Now Dallas Police has to be out here doing this. Because these people can't behave. Because they literally look what they're doing. Look at this. This is Marxism, cultural Marxism to a T. They did not come out here to be heard. They came out here to create a scene.
I mean, he's partially correct, right? Partially correct. Although there's more to it than that. But let me cover some of these here real quick. Just speaking of, like, you know, we've covered how BLM are trained Marxists and all this stuff. They have the economy. The economic angle, of course, but it's anti-whiteness. That's the kind of the core ideology weaved into all of this. Here's the National Museum of African American History and Culture have recently spoken up here, I guess, and they're saying that hard work, nuclear family, and Christianity are negative aspects of whiteness. Objective thinking, being polite, sticking to time schedules, property rights are all listed as forms of oppression. I remember seeing this last time I was in D.C., I think it was a couple of years ago. This horrible, ugly architectural thing that they smacked up, which is the National Museum of African American History and Culture. But yeah, they have published a guide which asserts that hard work, the nuclear family, and Christianity itself are negative forms of whiteness that should be reconsidered because they are oppressive. Here's the... I'll click in on these real quick so we can take a look at these. The National Museum, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, respect for authority, delayed gratification. Talking about race. White culture in the United States, aspects and assumptions of whiteness. Rugged individualism. The individual is the primary unit, self-reliance, independence and autonomy highly valued plus rewarded. Individuals assumed to be in control of their own environment. In other words, you get what you deserve. The family structure, emphasis on the scientific method, history, let me remove the lower third, you can see there, based on Northern European immigrants' experience in the United States, heavy focus on the British Empire, the primacy of Western / Greek, Roman, and Judeo-Christian tradition, Protestant work ethic, it goes on from here, religion, Christianity is the norm, anything other than Judeo-Christian tradition is foreign, no tolerance for deviation from single God concept, status, power, authority, wealth equals worth, your job is who you are, respecting authority, heavy value on ownership of goods, space, and property. Of course, all these are Marxist. Like, these are... Yeah, it's amazing. Future orientation. Plan for future. Let me get back up so I can remind you here. Aspects and assumption of whiteness. White culture in the United States. white dominant culture, or whiteness refers to ways which white people and their tradition attributes, and ways of life have been normalized over time and are now considered standard practices in the United States. And since white people still hold most of the institutional power in America, yeah, white people do, right? We have all internalized some aspects of white culture, including people of color. So, planning for the future, that's white supremacy. Delayed gratification. Progress is always best. Tomorrow will be better. Time, following rigid time schedules. Time viewed as a commodity. Aesthetics based on European culture. Steak and potatoes. Bland is best. What the hell is this? Woman's beauty based on blonde, thin Barbie. Yeah, like that's not going away. Man's attractiveness based on economic status, power, intellect. Holidays based on Christian religions, based on white history and male leaders. Justice based on English common law. Many of these things are the reason why you now have liberated yourself, right? That's what's so ironic about this. Human rights and all that stuff. Protect property and entitlements. Intent counts. Competition. Be number one. Win at all cost. Winner, loser. Dichotomy. Action oriented. Master and control nature. Here we go. See, master bedroom was racist now to say. As the primary bedroom. Must always do something about a situation. Look at this. Your desire to improve. That's just white supremacy. Just sit down and shut up and do nothing for a while, will you? Don't try to improve your environment or do something that betters yourself or your community or your family. Aggressiveness and extroversion. Decision-making. Majority rules when whites have power. Yeah, I'm sure this will be great. This will be great when white people are a minority. Communication, last one here. The King's English rules, written tradition, avoid conflict, intimacy. Okay, so just war, I guess, then? Having conflict at all levels, that's good, that's what you need? Ironic, huh? Don't show emotion. Don't discuss personal life. Be polite. Being polite is a problem. Unbelievable. Can you believe this shit? Unbelievable. Holy shit. We're living in a circus. It's a fucking Twilight Zone. It's unbelievable. Alan Harris sends a diamond on DLive and says the people who put statue up got let off by police. Of course they did. Mr. Noseberg with the diamond says, damn white people being on time. That's right. Mr. Noseberg again with the diamond says, which one of you guys wrote this? LOL. Yeah, it's almost like a, is it a troll? I mean, obviously it's not, right? But They're getting there. Mary Arian with the diamonds says, stand tall, white man. Well, absolutely. I mean, we have nothing to apologize for. Boomy Leaks says, yes. Oh, man, this is incredible. All right, let me do this. A couple of these real quick here, too. We have a couple of things we want to squeeze in before we wrap up for this time. So George Floyd, I want to go back to this. It's all BLM related and Minneapolis and what happened with George Floyd and all that stuff, right? But George Floyd's family suing the city now of Minneapolis. Also, of course, Derek Chauvin and three former officers. There was a press conference earlier today, which I tuned into. Wasn't too many memorable things of it, but the point is they're going to squeeze out more money here in an attempt to our noble, gentle giant, George Floyd. Let's check out this clip and see what they included from the press conference here.
They have filed a federal wrongful death civil rights lawsuit on behalf of George Floyd's family and all of his children. It was not just the knee of Officer Derek Chauvin on George Floyd's neck for 8 minutes in 46 seconds, but it was the knee of the entire Minneapolis Police Department on the neck of George Floyd that killed him. The city of Minneapolis has a history of policies and procedures and deliberate indifference when it comes to the treatment of arrestees, especially black men.
Yeah, I mean, isn't forced diversity great? Isn't it amazing that we're becoming a minority in our own countries? It's going to be great, folks. Don't worry about that. I want to play this in a second because this has to do with... I saw Strucker posted this on Twitter, and I remember the documentary. I thought it was G. Edward Griffin first, but I could be wrong. But I think he brought out the pressure from above, pressure from below tactic. He wrote about that. I want to play that in a second. Because it's important in relation to what BLM is doing and the role that they serve and the fact that they are also a part of they are part of the agenda. That's why they're being funded by big banks and big business and all that kind of stuff. They're serving, right? Goldman Sachs, BlackRock and Amazon and Google, Apple, all these major companies are pouring billions of dollars into it because it serves an agenda. Let me just make sure here that I got the other one out of Minneapolis. Let me see here. Where is it? I didn't open that yet. Let me open that because it was auto-playing the window here. One second, guys. This one. Speaking of, they're suing Minneapolis. Now, this is one of the other...
When you have sensitive skin.
Oh, God damn it. Let me see where the stop is here. Let me lower that then. There we go. Yeah, let's just autoplay that ad real quick. So Minneapolis are changing, but think about the Marxist thing that we look at that African American Museum there of, you know, like being polite and on time and social norms and all that kind of, like, all this stuff needs to go out the window, essentially, right? All of it needs to go. One of the things they're doing in Minneapolis now is that they are repealing the nudity ordinance, and all of this is related. Like, we need chicks out there with their breast hanging out, right? Let's listen to this report here from Care 11 out of Minneapolis. Oh, let me turn the volume back.
That Loring Park, a relaxing view.
Here we go. Okay.
For Janet Bowner and Lee Lyon, who are regulars at Loring Park, a relaxing view of the lake while seeing birds and squirrels feeding at their feet are a rather common and welcome sight. But for these parkgoers, topless transgender people and women could soon be added to their hashtag views when out and about in the city's parks.
I mean, finally, right? Am I right? Finally.
I think that I personally will take my top off and worry about being sighted just simply because that's who I am. But if men are allowed to, and people are comfortable with it, then there's no reason why women can't be.
As it stands currently, a Minneapolis Park Board ordinance states no one 10 years or older is allowed to be fully nude or female breast exposed in a park or parkway. But in a push from Park Board Commissioner Chris Meyer to repeal the ordinance, that could all change. In a post on Meyer's Facebook page, he says the only impact the repeal would have is eliminating the language which targets female breasts, which, by the way, going topless currently is allowed on city streets, but not in the city's parks.
It doesn't make any sense to me if they can be on the street, but they can't be in the park.
So now Meyer says law.
Now, there's nowhere where you can't escape, like, weird, crazy feminists running around and showing their boobs.
Should treat people equally, and in places where men are allowed to be topless, women and transgender people should too. But not everyone is on board with the...
Again, these things are priority now, right? Defund the police, just tear down the statues, and just, like, let everybody just run around naked, right? Because anything else is those are reflections of Western orderly, traditions, and that's fascism. That's white supremacy. So off with your tops, ladies. Let's just... out with the titties.
The idea of bearing it all from the waist up, especially when it comes to protecting children.
It's up to parents and kids to have conversations about that. That's how we start to break down archaic thinking.
A change in thinking for some.
Break down this lady gets it, right? She gets the Marxist tippy toe tactic of just like this. We gotta break down slowly and over time. Our traditions, the way we do things, right? Crazy. Let me play the rest here.
Kids to have conversations about that. That's how we start to break down archaic thinking.
A change in...
I'm not a prude and I'm not offended seeing someone's boobs, but you know the reasons why they do this. You know that it's for... You know the reasons are degenerate. You know that it's to have, like, no inhibitions kind of thing. And this is, like, what's paved the way for, like... you know, these pride festivals and stuff, and you literally have like a adult males doing like doing each other middle of the street and not getting not being in prison for like flaunting in front of kids and stuff. I mean, these are the reasons. It's not some liberation thing. Michael Jones was right. If you're a slave to your vices and your sexuality, you're easily controlled. That's what this is about. Having you focus on constant nudity and sex and perversion and pornography and all this shit, right? And you become a slave to those vices, and the elites can much easier time controlling you. That's part of the game. That's how they do things.
Some, and a shift in cultural norms for others.
The fact is, we are conditioned to certain things. That's part of our culture, and you can't change a culture quickly. It takes about two generations minimum to change a culture.
In Minneapolis, Devon Roming, Care 11 News.
So they know that, but shut up. So they know, it's amazing. This old, at least old boomers sitting there, like, they know this shit. Unbelievable. All right, you get the idea. I just wanted to just play that quick because of Minneapolis and stuff. I'll play the pressure from above, pressure from below in a moment here. It's very interesting. This happened too, speaking of Black Lives Matter. So they painted a mural outside of Trump Tower. Some white dude, real chatty, poured some red paint on it. Check this out. He's just improving. He's culturally contributing to the artwork, right?
Oh, no. What's your name? Yeah, run!
Yeah, run! What's your name? All right. I think he docks himself right there. All right, good boy. At least, I mean, don't they share their artwork? I mean, isn't it all of us need to participate and take part in these things? Right? Isn't that what it is? All right, let me do a couple of these, and then we'll play that pressure from above and below clip because it's pretty interesting in regards to what's happening right now. Mr. Wright donates a diamond and says they are talking themselves into segregation. LOL. I don't know. Something is going on here for sure. And I'm sure it will create less what they call white supremacists, whatever it is that's happening here. It's just insanity. Mr. Noseberg with a diamond, or did I say Mr. Wright said that rather. Did I say Mr. Noseberg? Sorry about that. Mr. Wright said that with the diamond. Thank you. And then Mr. Noseberg gives a diamond and says, white pill, sends a link. I'll pull that up in a moment here. Thank you, Mr. Noseberg. Appreciate that. And stuff like that sends a, I'm going to be on the right keyboard here. Yes, it's doing that thing again. Why is that? Let me check. I'm getting cut off URL, I think. Yeah, unable to find. Why is that? Strange. Maybe it was cut off, Mr. Noseberg. Just dump it in the chat when you see this. The regular, or the link again, because it's. I'm just getting a broken link from Tiny URL. Error, unable to find URL to redirect to. I'm not sure why. Anyway, dump it into chat again. I'll take a look. Let me do these in the meantime and stuff like that. Gives a diamond and says, are we, South Africa 2.0. It's heading in that direction. That's what they want. And stuff like that. Gives a diamond and says, it's time to pressure Israeli training of U.S. Police? Question mark. Let me see. There's the link from Mr. Noseberg. Let me click that real quick here. Okay, let me pull this in real quick. Update on Twitter hack. According to numerous reports, all the blue checked Twitter accounts cannot tweet now. Shares of Twitter fell 3% hours after trading. Oh, that's funny. Interesting. I wonder what that is. Okay, we got to see if there's a follow-up to that. Thank you for the link, Mr. Noseberg. That's funny. All right. And thank you for stuff like that as well. Yeah, I'm not following. It's time pressure Israeli training of U.S. police. You mean, they're doing... I know that they're doing training of them on stuff, but sorry, I'm not following. I was just tired at the end of the show as usual. Anyway, thank you and stuff like that. Appreciate it. Mr. Wright, sorry for not getting that. Mr. Wright with a diamond says, this Western civilization has gone bye-bye. That's what I feel. McCooley with a diamond, actually 1-2 in a row. Thank you. Visor 58 with a diamond says, respect from the frozen north. Well, thank you. Good to have you here. McCooley again with a diamond. No message. Here's the pressure from above and below clips from Strucker here. Check these out. Really good stuff. Regarding BLM, you know, Marxism and the takeover, how you change the structure, how you, for example, get federal police force involved, militarization of cops, all that kind of stuff. Check this out.
But what is the best way to sell big government and then world government to a people like ours, historically devoted to an independent republic of limited powers? The answer is simple. In revolutionary literature, the tactic is known as pressure from above and below. It's the strategy that Colonel House laid down in his book, Philip Drew Administrator. Deliberately create problems, and then offer only those solutions that result in the expansion of government. Create conditions so frightful at home and abroad that the abandonment of personal liberties and national sovereignty will appear as a reasonable price for a return to domestic tranquility and world peace. If those who seek world dominion can stimulate leftist mobs into violent confrontation with local law enforcement, and also provide exhaustive news coverage so that the entire nation can see and tremble, then the peaceful and freedom-loving majority can be programmed to accept a vast expansion of government powers and even a national police force, offered supposedly to end the violence. If those who seek world dominion can raise the specter of an enemy armed to the teeth with superior atomic weapons on the verge of launching a nuclear holocaust, and also offer world government as the prevention, then millions of Americans can be programmed to accept the loss of national sovereignty as our last best hope for peace. This is the meaning of pressure from above and below. To put over police state measures at home, they need chaos, crime, and anarchy in the streets. To sell the idea of world government, they need the constant threat of nuclear war. Or, as they say in revolutionary circles, the real action is in the reaction. In 1968, Random House Incorporated published this book by James Koonin, The Strawberry Statement, Notes of a College Revolutionary. Koonin carries the usual New Left credentials and is a classic example of the extent to which a highly intelligent mind can be programmed by the establishment into thinking that it is acting against the establishment.
Let me play part two here. Here we go.
Koonin was one of the leading participants in the first student seizure of an American university, which occurred at Columbia in April of 1968. Initially, the movement was not large and easily could have been stopped by a simple police action. But as usual, the anti-establishment forces received their greatest help from the establishment itself. For several days, police were told not to interfere. Meanwhile, university officials groveled in the face of outrageous propaganda charges, and the media made national heroes of the rebelling students. MGM even made a movie out of Koonin's book. On page 130, Koonin wrote, "In the evening, I went up to the U to check out a strategy meeting. A kid was giving a report on the SDS convention. He said that at the convention, men from Business International Roundtables, the meeting sponsored by Business International for their client groups and heads of government, tried to buy up a few radicals. They offered to finance our demonstrations in Chicago. We were also offered ESSO, or Rockefeller money. They want us to make a lot of radical commotion so they can look more in the center as they move to the left."
I mean, it's a good point, right? I mean, that's... Isn't that what they're doing? At some point, they're going to swoop down. And even if they just pull off everything the BLM wants, then it's like, yeah, it's moved them in that direction very, very quickly. The point is, it's done with radical movements. And that's why bankers, you know, fund them and the big companies and stuff. And is it the whole story? No, absolutely not. But it's good to keep in mind after seeing this shit happen.
Oh. Lee Lyon, who are regulars at Loring Park, sorry. A relaxing view of the lake while seeing birds and...
Yeah, it's these dumb sources. They autoplay their videos. Should have closed it. But yeah, you get the idea. Check out there is a clip on YouTube, Pressure from Above, Pressure from Below. It is part of it. I remember seeing this. It's years ago. I think it's G. Edward Griffin. And does he cover all of the things? No, of course not. I just saw a critique in the chat that someone didn't, you know, trust him or whatever. He blames everything on government. Maybe partially he does, but he also understands the Marxist, kind of the just the open left wing, you know, move in that direction, and how big finance is using that to their advantage to move the needle, right? So yeah, anyway, I just want to play that. because it's a good thing to keep in mind. As we're seeing all this madness being allowed to happen on the street, police are backing down. You know, it's clearly going to be used to spur a reaction of some kind. That's what I think, in a way. All right, let me do these two real quick, and I think then we'll do one more on Barry Weiss after that, and then we'll wrap up. We're getting at the top of the hour here. But yeah, this is just incredible. Washington Examiner is reporting that mayors back reparations that could cost $6.2 quadrillion, or $151 million per descendant. The nation's mayor on Monday backed a national call for reparations to 41 million black people, a program that could cost taxpayers $6.2 quadrillion. I saw what, $14 trillion recently flying around? Again, it's very interesting how they come to these numbers. The U.S. Conference of Mayors released a letter backing a Democrat plan to form a reparations commission to come up with a payment for slavery. We recognize and support your legislation as a concrete first step in our larger reckoning as a nation, and a next step to guide the actions of both federal and local leaders who have promised to do better by our black residents, said the letter from Congress, from Conference President Greg Fisher, Mayor of Louisville. Senator Cory Booker and Representative Sheila Jackson Lee have introduced legislation to create a commission, the Commission to Study and Develop Reparations Proposal for African Americans Act. Now, I did a video about that, the dumbest arguments for reparations. It was, about a year ago, maybe it's even more, I forget. Check out that. It's at redicemembers.com now. I actually go through some of the hearings that they had. These commissions were having hearings. I think it was in, I forget if it was the House or for the Senate or something, I forget, but just these, it's crazy. It's crazy, these arguments they have. And they're pretending it's just isolated to, like, there was no other people, enslaved, and every white person alive today has benefited from this, and therefore it's just crazy. In introducing her bill to the House last year, Jackson Lee said the commission aims to study the impact of slavery and continuing discrimination against African Americans, resulting directly and indirectly from slavery to segregation to the desegregation process and the present day. The commission would also make recommendations concerning any form of apology and compensation to begin the long-delayed process of atonement for slavery. This is, it's a sin, it's all this religious language weaved into this. Since then, reparations have continued to draw attention, and the issue was elevated further during the recent Black Lives Matter protest. Long at the center of the debate have been the potential price tag for paying slavery descendants, for which studies broadly include most of all the 41 million black people in the country. A new study from three college professors, totally not Marxism, said that the ultimate cost could be $6.2 quadrillion. Quadrillion comes after trillion, and one quadrillion has 15 zeros. The study suggests a payment of $151 million each, and the cost to every person would be $18.96 million, right? Is that what it is? Yeah, $18.96 million. The calculation is somewhat complicated, but it's a little complicated. Don't worry about it. But we got it, though. But it's essentially studies the unpaid hours. Oh my God, unpaid hours slaves worked, calculated a price for massacres and discrimination, and adds in interest. Gotta have that interest, right? Yeah, because there was no white people enslaved in America. There was no white people enslaved anywhere else. This is just incredible stuff. It is titled Wealth Implications of Slavery and Racial Discrimination for African American Descendants of the Enslaved. It was published last month in the Review of Black Political Economy. The authors concluded, quote, "We argue that the U.S. government should have paid reparations for enslavement and de jure racial discrimination because of the ratifications of the Fifth Amendment in 1791. Oh boy, Article 4. Section 2 of the Constitution established not only slavery, but also the personhood of the enslaved, and the Fifth Amendment applies to all persons. Had these reparations been paid, they would have intergenerational wealth implications for African-American descendants living today." And here's the actual document here from Scribd. Unbelievable. All right. So this racket is picking up speed. And it will probably come. So you can look forward to essentially every white person being a slave, you know, slave to debt for I don't know how many generations. What some could do a math on that? 6.2 quadrillion. How long would that take to pay off in terms of debt? The United States Conference of Mayors. Oh my God. It just never ends. It just never ends. Just scream loudest and you get what you want. There's some that already are moving on this. Sorry, guys. I'm beginning to lose my voice a little bit here. But I just want to squeeze this in at the end here because it's just, this is just fucking insane. In an extraordinary move, Asheville, this is in North Carolina, Asheville City Council had said that it will provide reparations for black residents for historical wrongs, including slavery and discrimination. This is the Citizen Times out of Asheville reporting on this here. In an extraordinary move, the city council has apologized for the city's historical role in slavery, discrimination, and denial of basic liberties to black residents and voted to provide reparations to them and their descendants. The vote 7-0 vote came in the night, in the middle of the night, on July 14th. Hundreds of years of black blood spilled that basically fills up the cup we drink from today, said Councilwoman Keith Young, one of two African-American members of the body and the measure's chief proponent. It is simply not enough to remove statues. Black people in this country are dealing with issues that are systemic in nature, Young said. The unanimous passed resolution does not mandate direct payments. Instead, it will make investments in areas where black residents face disparities. The resulting budget and programmatic priorities may include but not limited to increasingly minority home ownership and access to affordable housing, increasing minority business ownership and career opportunities. What do they mean, minorities? Does this mean other non-whites that are not black? Is that what they mean there? That anybody will just benefit from this? Or as long as, I mean, isn't it like whites, the white man bad, he's the enslaver, right? And black men good because they were the enslaved, right? That's how this breaks down. But are there other ethnicities that are going to get in on the action and get something out of this too? That's pretty interesting there, huh? Let's check out this video and see if they... Okay, they're just discussing the removal. Okay, they don't have anything on it. But yeah, so here's the document on this here too. Resolution to supporting community reparations for Black Asheville is the document's name. So they've already begun. Cities, I guess, can take that decision themselves. Pretty interesting. Real quick, rabbi who was involved in the Poway synagogue shooting was hurt and injured there, was actually caught stealing $620,000 through a tax fraud. Yisrael Goldstein, 58, admitted to taking part in the scheme where donors who gave large amounts of money to Chabad of Poway secretly got most of their money back. U.S. Attorney Robert Brewer said the donors then claimed the full amount as a charitable contribution, and Goldstein, who controlled Chabad's finances, kicked back 90% of the donation and kept 10% for himself, Brewer said. Nice optics there, Goldstein. Investigators call this scheme the 90-10 fraud. Over the course of several years, Goldstein accepted at least $6.2 million in fake donations from at least 18 taxpayers and kept $620,000. Goldstein also pleaded guilty to two other federal schemes, one involving scamming corporations of matching donations to Chabad or charities controlled by the rabbi, Brewer said. Corporate employees taking part in matching donation programs would give Goldstein money, which he secretly funneled back to them while keeping the matching donation amounts provided by the corporation, according to Brewer, who said that at least six employee co-conspirators took part in that scheme from 2010 to 2018. Can you believe this? It was a multi-million dollar fraud. It's incredible, aren't it? Likely to get probation. Yeah, Rabbi Yisrael Goldstein likely to get probation in plea deal for participating in scam that disguised charitable contributions for personal gain. So he might get a plea deal here. It's just whatever, you know. It's incredible. All right, I have to do this next time because it's too much now. I want to wrap up going over the hour here a little bit. Barry Weiss, which we've talked about a couple of times, ended up resigning from the New York Times. It's actually a pretty funny story. And I wanted to play... Barry. I wanted to play a couple of clips with her to see, you know, like how crazy things are in terms of her positions and what she's... the positions that she takes, and then still being like, you know, feeling bullied at the New York Times and stuff. It's incredible. So we'll have to do that one. Let me see here. Let me pause this real quick. We have to do that one, I think, next time, because I do want to wrap up. With some other stories here, too, about Hollywood's identity crisis. Actors, writers, and producers warn of reverse racism in the film industry, which has created a toxic climate for anyone who is white and middle-aged. I don't know if they include Jews in this as well, but I was going to go through that, but we'll have to save it for next time. So a couple of interesting things there for you guys to, for a little cliffhanger. And we'll dive into those either in Flashback Friday or depending if we do something tomorrow. But let me do a couple of more of your donations real quick here, guys, and then we're going to wrap up. Again, thank you so much for watching. Hope you enjoyed the show. A lot of important stuff to go through today. It's just getting crazier and crazier. I can't believe it. But this is the time we're in. Let me do a couple of these on DLive real quick here. McCooley sent a diamond. And thank you for that. And stuff like that. Yeah, the one I've flubbed up on there. Yeah, that's right. Sorry about that. He says again with the diamond... let's call out IDF training of U.S. police, question mark. Yes, I agree. And we've done it quite a few times as well. It's absolutely crazy that they're getting trained by Israeli. Even the George Floyd thing, you know, although, of course, he had a lot of drugs in his system. He was foaming at the mouth. He was having difficulty breathing even before the cop laid him down. The transcript wore out. We reported on this in Weekend Warrior that he had actually been asked to be laid down on the ground and stuff like that. As problematic this is, the narrative that the media spun about this, it's of course still noteworthy to point out the fact that the technique that Chauvin used from the Minneapolis Police Department is one among others that they picked up and learned from from Israeli IDF sources and them being taught by police and military in Israel, by the way, pretty crazy. But thank you for that and stuff like that. Appreciate it. Again, he says, another diamond is my fault on Israel message. Oh, yeah, no worries, man. Sorry, that happens. Thank you. He says, love red ice as well. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Deconstruct with a diamond. Controlled spontaneity, e.g., et cetera, or for example, clap for the NHS. Yeah, controlled spontaneity. It's insanity. The things we've lived through the last couple of months, to be honest. The BLM stuff, the COVID stuff, the removal of statues, and it's just crazy. Vizor with a diamond says reparations would bring many whites to our cause. I think you're right, because it's crazy. Black Philip with a diamond says 3 million whites enslaved by the Ottoman. Money when? Yeah, well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like they do not have monopoly on enslavement or you know, being in a position of being used by other groups throughout history. It's crazy, but this is the only thing we hear. White man bad, he's the perpetrator, and non-white people are the innocent victims of white racism. Uber Groiper with a Ninja Guinea says, here is reparation for having to read all that crap they wrote in the news story today. Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you, Uber Groiper. Appreciate it very much. Let me do this. Add in a couple of extra diamonds here, or diamonds, lemons, I mean, on DLive. Let's push in another 500 lemons, ladies and gentlemen. So we have about 1,000. Well, let me do a little bit more. So we get about 1,000 there. What are we? About 20 more, maybe 25 more, and then we'll share those. What do we have here? Yeah, just about 1,000 lemons in the DLive box. Sorry, guys, I'm losing my voice a little bit here. Let me distribute those awards real quick here, guys. Where are we? Right there. They are coming up. Thank you as much as usual for watching. Had to fly through a couple of topics here today, but I hope you bear with us. A lot of things to cover as usual. Again, the Barry Weiss thing we'll do probably later. A lot of things to talk and mention about that. I'm just going to stick around here until we get the distribution of the lemons over on DLive. Checking again here, nothing more on Entropy Stream, and I don't think anything else on Donor Box. Well, thank you to everyone who donated. Appreciate it, guys. Always a pleasure having you with us. All right, I think the rewards should be coming up, so get your lemons. There we go. We have Mr. Noseberg, number one. Thank you, Mr. Noseberg. Always good to have you here. Thank you for modding on DLive. Dixon Uranus, number 2. Star Pilot, number 3. Karavaki, number 4. And William Shear, number 5. I think a lot of you guys are... I normally see you guys on that on the placement chart, the top 5 after lemon distribution. So thank you guys, because that probably means you're donating quite a bit as well. So thank you for that. Appreciate it. Okay, well, I think that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to wrap up here for now. Of course, watch us again on Friday, Flashback Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Central European time. But of course, tomorrow we have a video we're working on, Lana's Latest. Hopefully we can have that up by tomorrow. If not, coming up on the weekend. We'll see you guys soon. Take care. Always a pleasure having you with us. Much love. Now, if you're new here, just want to alert you to Weekend Warrior, our exclusive show that we do at redicemembers.com each weekend. News roundup show. We talk about some of the current events, the most important stories. We have a good laugh as well. Laugh at some of the cultural Marxist absurdities. Check it out if you haven't already. An exclusive show. People love it. They tune in each weekend. They don't miss a single show. It's well produced. There really isn't anything like it on the anti-globalist movement, whatever you want to call it. So thank you so much for watching. But again, if you want more, redicemembers.com, Weekend Warrior. Check it out.